Hello and welcome to episode 18 of Keith's Craft Collective. I dedicate this episode to my dad. This week the blether is about help. We have the craft fairy, the Scottish segment, I have the news, the hellos, the updates from Keith's textile artists, and I'm going to review the Weekend Knitting by Melanie Fallick. I'll let you have all the links in the show notes that come with the place you download this from, so relax and get the links later. So get your tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. The blether. Help. Help, the Wikipedia definition, is action given to provide assistance or aid. Currently there's a charity in the UK called Help for Heroes, and it's a charity formed to help those that have been wounded in Britain's current conflicts. The week ahead will take us into Armistice Sunday and the 11th of November, when, in 1918, the guns fell silent over the fields of Europe. We remember all those that have fallen in the Great War, and all wars since, and those that continue to fall. I was going to say that whether you support the war or not, but nobody really supports war, do they? Because war is futile. The first casualty of war is innocence, and who could possibly want that? What I will say is support the troops, those that serve our countries, and show them respect as they have earned it by going to wars that I don't have to and I can live the life that I do. So whether you wear a red poppy as I am or a white one for peace, wear a poppy and wear it with pride to show your appreciation of deeds done. I have nothing but the utmost respect and am in awe of those men and women who serve our country from the Great War, the Second World War, the Falklands and now the Middle East. My own family lost men in the Great and Second World Wars, and my husband's side also. My father was very respectful of the armed forces, and he would take us along to the street parade on Armistice Sunday. He also used to sing the Green Fields of France, which is what I have playing us out today. Weirdly, I was listening to Radio Scotland's Brian Burnett programme whilst driving Sandy about Monday night, and he has theme night every night that listeners message in suggestions to. It's quite good fun, and I've had a few shouts out on it. Fame has gone to my head. And the theme on Monday was Celtic Connection, so it was very Scottish and Irish and very lovely. And somebody suggested the Green Fields of France. Brian, like I know him personally, you know. Brian Burnett said that he liked that record, but he was going to play it on Armistice Night as a special then. So it's one to tune into, I think. And my dad died 7 years ago this week, and I'm glad that I can still hear him singing it in my head. I'm sorry you can't, because he could hold a tune, unlike myself. And this is why I'm dedicating this episode to my dad. We miss him still. Actually, this leads me on very cheekily to Help the Aged charity, who are now called Age UK. Innocent Drinks run a campaign every year to raise money for Age UK by getting knitters to knit wee hats for their smoothie drinks, which are then sold, and an amount is donated to the charity. I got this off the website and it says, "Our hats are knitted by knitters up and down the country. They send us their hats between August and October, and we count them up before hand-packing them onto our little bottles. They are then sent off to store and will be available to buy in Boots or Sainsbury's stores across UK for 3 weeks from the 3rd of November. For every bee-hatted bottle sold, 25 pence is donated to Age UK. We first got our needles out back in 2003 when we knitted 20,000 hats to raise £10,000 for Age Concern. And since then, the big knit has grown every single year, and in 2010 will be our year we smash the 1 million mark of total money raised over the campaign's history, and we aim to put 800,000 hats on our bottles. Some of the hats are absolutely wonderful. They don't take very long to do, and they can use up stash wool. I love Innocent Smoothies and subscribe to their newsletter. They have a great sense of humour. And I also like this campaign because they don't have to do it, but they do it and they help the elderly. Helping others is a good way to help ourselves, in ways we don't realise that we need to. More often than not, giving your time and help is more valuable than monetary aid, such as going to your elderly neighbour and spending an afternoon with them. Just talking, doing wee jobs that they need, or taking their bin in for them, it helps them enormously. We spend a lot of time looking inwards. It would do us good to look beyond that and help someone who could do with it. Susan from Knit A Journey said something in her podcast ages ago when she was talking about sock knitting. She doesn't do it as a rule, but she made a pair for her mother who gets very cold feet at night. And she has helped her mother by keeping her tootsies warm by doing something that Susan enjoys doing. And I remember this, it stuck in my head because my mum gets very cold feet. And if I ever make socks, I'm going to make her some to keep her feeties warm. This week, the song simply has to be Help by the Beatles. Go on, have a wee boogie around, but you have to listen after you've listened to me. There is emergency help. We ring 999 for the police, the fire brigade, the ambulance, the Coast Guard and the mountain rescue. Hubby has recently joined the John O'Groats Coast Guard, and now I live with a pager in my bedroom at night. He used to be in the mountain rescue, so I'm well used to being woken at 3 a.m. and then worrying about him till he phones in or appears home. But they're all services to protect and help out the general public, and we respect them very much. What about getting help for you after a bad thing happens, such as death, divorce or illness? Very few of us are truly alone, and that is very apparent when something dreadful happens. You find out who your real true friends are, and they pick you up, dust you off and help you on your way again. Obviously, the professionals are the first port of call for illness, divorce, and you can get access to counselling for deaths. The stiff upper lip can come into play, and the old-fashioned keeping your emotions under wraps. When someone you know dies, whether they are close to you or not, they leave a space in your life, sometimes a gaping black hole, and sometimes it's just an empty chair at work. But what happens is you miss them, and coping with that is not all easy. Everyone grieves or copes differently. There is no right or wrong way to grieve. And I will say that when my dad died, I was given a piece of advice by someone who had walked in my shoes by losing their own father. He said, talk about them like you always did. Use their name, don't hide the fact that they've gone, or you will tie yourself into knots. It took me a while to turn my corner. I got help for it in the source of a book from the doctor, which helped the helplessness that I felt. The hardest part was actually asking for help in the first place. And I found this when I was a new mother, and I was in a very dark place mentally for a while. I found it easy to hide the signs of this, and when I did ask for help, I was greeted with, but you're all so cheerful, how can you be needing help? And this was from the medical staff. But my dog knew, and he was a great source of comfort. Obviously, Hubby knew too, and he has and continues to be my rock in my life. And I got out of both dark places by doing a number of things. One, and I would utterly recommend this to everybody, walk. I had a dog to walk, and although at first I struggled getting out of the house, I used it as therapy. I would walk to the bottom of the road first, and then to the next passing place the next day, then to the end of the road the day after. It gives me fresh air, exercise, and helps my endorphins, and gives me a focus to that part of the day. Two, listen to happy music or podcasts. Do not listen to sad music or grumpy podcasts. Well, aye, I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks then. Three, accept help from your friends. They will see you in pain and they will help you out by doing whatever they can. 4. Ask for help if you can't get yourself out of the dark place you're in. I managed to talk myself out of the dark place. I sat down and I thought, I don't want to do this anymore. I need to be happy. I like smiling. So what can I do to get there? And then I went and did it. This meant going to someone and talking. 5. And this will be for all you crafters, and I will be looking over your shoulders to see that you're doing this, or I'm afraid I'll have to send the nighting police around. Open your craft room, your craft bag, your craft box, and have a rummage around. Find those pretty colours and the buttons that you forgot you bought whilst on a day trip somewhere nice and you had a lovely time, and you'll be making plans before you knew it of what you can use it for. Sadly, sometimes you will find a half-finished jumper, which will never be made for the intended recipient. So, if you can finish it and wear it yourself out of love, or pass it to someone else who you think you can make a use out of it. Crafting is a very therapeutic and relaxing, and it's all-encompassing. It may soothe your troubled soul for a while. I hope nobody here is a bit upset. Don't worry, because Daisy will come up and she'll soon cheer us up. Basically, life does move on, and you have to somehow accept what's happened. Because the tide comes in and it goes out twice a day, and you are a wonderful person who deserves to see the beauty in life again. Also, disability. My nephew has autism, and my brother and my sister-in-law cope daily with all that autism brings. They asked for help when they needed it and are very proactive in getting extra help from my nephew Tyler. They did their research and they thought that Tyler would benefit from going to a specialist course which was held in Jupiter in Florida earlier this year. Now, this did not come cheap. They raised money by selling anything they didn't need in their house, and then they opened a thrift shop in Wick, and they started a trust for him. We had fun days, there was a half marathon, a sponsored walk, we had mega raffles, and they raised an awful lot of money. Now, Tyler has been, and he's benefited enormously from his course, and he comes in leaps and bounds every day. Also, what we are really proud of from is that the thrift shop is now a place that other families benefit from. They spend the money on other children by buying them what they need, like laptops or special word cards or whatever the families need. And it's also a networking support group. They had a choice. They could just accept that Tyler was autistic and would be forever locked in his world, with Emma being all-encompassing parents, or they could do this and let Tyler fly. So they gave him wings. Not only did they refuse to give up on Tyler, they refused to accept that it was all the help that there was. They went out, they found more, and they pass it on to everyone else who needs it. I'm glad that they did this, because Tyler is lovely and he deserves it, and so do they. Plus, they help others, which I said before is priceless. I give you help, help, the immortal words of Penelope Pitstop, who starred in the Waggy Races with the Anthill Mob and Dick Dastardly, Muttley and the Hooded Claw. I always wanted legs like hers. See, now you're all cheered up again. Who do you turn to for your crafting and your knitting help? I am fortunate and I can ask you, my lovely listeners, for help when I get stuck with knitting pattern. Thank you, Carlin, who looked up the asymmetrical cardigan pattern that I was stuck on and wrote it out in longhand for me. Isn't she lovely? I can now do double fantasy cable. Woohoo. Well, I could do it anyway, I just didn't understand the abbreviations of the way the pattern was written. I love the pattern, Yahira Ferreira, but I'm sorry, I just couldn't understand it. I don't see patterns or makeup of garments the way that others do, but I have other talents that I am good at with colours and embroidery, and that's a good thing because they can help me and I can help them. I can also turn to my mum, who normally susses out my knitting, and if she can't, then the knitting guru Margaret will. And also, we can all ask Ravelry. If you go to a pattern on Ravelry, along the top, on the right-hand side, there are a few tabs, and one of these is comments, and another forum posts, and another blog posts. It's a good idea to have a quick squiz through these and a wee look before you start the garment, and then again if you get stuck. You can always contact the designer, who are normally quite happy to help, because they are, after all, a knitter. There are a whole host of places online to go for knitting help, and then there are books and their friends and friendly knitters. Card making help is normally lack of inspiration, and I go to my card books, my online magazines, and then shops for my inspiration help. I've done that with a Christmas card this year, and although I normally like to have a nativity theme, as it is the reason for the season, I think it's going to be snowmen all the way in 2010. So problems, who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? Sorry, I automatically said that. I am of that generation after all. Well, if you have a problem of any type, try and get some help for it. Sometimes the help will be instant and sometimes it won't, but you ain't going to know unless you ask. I was thinking about having a thread on the Ravelry group for help, whether it's what I can do for this yarn, pattern, dog, bear or ghost. So let's put it down and see if anyone else can help. Currently it's under challenge. Right, moving on. Warning, if you need a piece, stop and then come back later because it's time for the Deasy Laugh. So, the craft fairy segment. Well, pretty much just still an Ash for Joy double thread with the case, please. Not asking for much here, am I? And sending some get well wishes to Valerie's husband, John, again, and hope you continue to improve. John has been through the ringer the past month and really deserves all the well wishes that we can send. Also sending supportive love to Valerie. Kel Pat sent me a message to say that she seems to be turning a corner, and I hope you continue to be on the road of wellness, so Craft Fairy seems to be working with you. Hello section. We have now been joined by Trinidad and Tobago, Morocco, Ukraine and Slovakia, as well as everywhere else, including weirdly my own brother, who listened by mistake when downloading his own podcast stuff from my mum's iTunes. Hi, big brother. And China, you're back. I've been wondering if someone on Podbean has been listening to me getting excited about the different countries listening and just bunged in a few random countries in my statistics. So if it's you in Trinidad and Tobago or Morocco, Ukraine, Slovakia or China, please message me and let me know it's not just Podbean techies having a laugh. Hello to Resorta, B.D. Edgar and V.T. Gale, whom have joined the group in Ravelry. Welcome in. Yes, I've had a nose at your projects and I am very impressed. Last episode I did say to have a look at D. Lauder's Harmony gloves, but I actually meant to say Humanity. I love looking at other people's projects as it opens up different tastes and expertise. I've been having a great look through and grabbing patterns that I like the look of. I'd never seen a Jarrod flood pattern before today, and I've had a wee look at Turner Square Hat today, and it's a lovely pattern. And B.D. Edgar, I note that you're doing the Steggy cardigan too. Well, be ready for a million compliments, because my mum has finished Sandy's Steggy cardigan, and it is brilliant. He loves it, and so does his dinosaur-obsessed wee pal, and my mum has some orders for some more. I'd quite like one for me in pink. And yes, you do get pink dinosaurs. I've just googled it, pink dinosaurs, and Google Images, and there you go. Also, if you'd like to drop in and have a wee look and leave a message on the Ravelry group, feel free, because you don't have to be a member to comment. It's like B&B with a wee packet of soap and the shampoo. But I do have a guest book at the end. Hello to all the new Twitters. Say hello and I'll tweet you back. News section. I have a snippet from the John O'Groat Journal from the section where it's 50 years ago this week. And it made me and hubby laugh out loud, so I thought I would share it with you. Right, so this is from 50 years ago. Two pet monkeys, which had been acquired by Wick businessman George Mackenzie, caused a stir when they escaped and spent some time exploring the roofs of a property in the area. The monkeys, a male and a female called Chalk and Chenny, escaped after unfastening their chains. A local grocer tried to entice them down by holding out a banana. Chalk sped down their own pipe, grabbed the banana, deftly stripped off his skin and threw it back in a benefactor's face before making off and eating the fruit on a rooftop. Chalk came down when his owner arrived on the scene and called him. Chenny had to be enticed down by workmen who climbed up onto the roof. My goodness, that must have been exciting 50 years ago. I just laughed and laughed at that. I've been listening to some other podcasts this week too. I'm sure that you've all found the nitwits by now, but if you haven't weed yourself laughing at them yet, and they have a technical term for that too, and you feel like you need to weed yourself laughing, go find them on iTunes. They're very professional, slicker than slick, hour of laughter once a week, and I'm thinking it should be mandatory for knitters. I have a link on the Podbean webpage for them and some other podcasts I love and recommend them all. I've had a wee fiddle with the Podbean webpage this is hosted from too, and I've got a glossary page of my Scottish dialect words to help you out. And I've put some links to the songs of the Blether as promised, and also some of the blogs that I like. I would like to recommend Monochrome Sheep for a look. We will be speaking to him in a future episode on a request from LP Star, who requested the journey of the wool before it becomes wool, i.e. when the sheep is using it. How dare they use our wool? Right, Scottish segment. This week I'm taking you from the Roman times up to the kings and queens of Scotland. Did you think, like I did, that they were always there? No, they weren't. So let me tell you how. And yarn salad, Iona, is coming up too. The Romans had had enough by 410 AD, and the northern lands were inhabited by the Picts, the Scots, the Britons, and the Angles. Picts arrived on the scene about the 3rd century. Pict comes from the Latin picti, meaning painted ones, and they were pretty fierce war types of Celtic origin, whose kingdom ranged from the north of the Firth of Forth and Clyde. There was lots of writing of weird symbols and carvings are left, but nobody has actually managed to translate them. But they do make pretty nice Aran designs for jumpers. Their king's names remain Brud, Garnt, Nate, Domlech, Kenneth, Angus, Foith, and Verb. I quite like Verb. Are some pretty funky names, eh? It would appear that the succession runs down the female line, which is a bit weird, as a king could be succeeded by his brother, i.e. the son of the mother, the royal mother, or by his sister's or his daughter's son, but not his own son. Now, yarn salad. 563 AD, along comes Columba from Ireland to sort out the heathen Picts. He was a high-ranking prince who'd given up everything to spread the word of Jesus. Now, the word goes back that he copied an illuminated book of Psalms, and the owner had wanted the copy back as well. But Columba had said no, and there was a big fight, ooh, and lots were killed, ooh, in which Columba was appalled. Fair enough. He resolved to leave his country and to convert to Christianity as many heathens as the number of men who had died as a result of the big fight, which is the first recorded dispute over copyright. Aye, read that, music producers, you're not alone there. Columba was politely received by a Pictish king, who let him have the wee tiny island of Iona, which is off the south of the Isle of Mull, in Argyll. From here, Columba and his disciples managed to convert most Picts to Christianity by 620 AD. Columba was made a saint because of this. Iona is a very beautiful spot of the world. I have visited along with my mother back in 2003 when Mum and I took a granny tour bus over from Oban on a day trip. We took the Caledonian McBrains, Isle of Mull, to the Craigmuir, where we were collected along with the other grannies and bus tripped down to Fenafort and another wee Calmac ferry over to the island of Iona. Now, I say grannies, well, that's a bit unfair, but generally these trips are occupied by old people smelling of wee, have blue rinses and wear beige, and are very good at getting in your way if they can possibly can, and be rude about it too. You think I'm being rude about them? Well, you sit on that bus. However, the bus driver was incredibly knowledgeable about Mull and its history and then Iona, and I would totally recommend you go over on a trip. It is a pilgrimage and it's a place to go if you're involved in the Kirk. The waters are beautifulest of blue and the sandy beaches are very picturesque. You get off the ferry and you can wander along the island at will. Of course, everybody goes to the Abbey, back to the hotels and shop before catching the ferry back again. The day we were there, there was a wedding at the Kirk. Not the Abbey, but the Kirk. And then they were bagpiped down to the hotel and had their photographs with the beaches in the background. It was sunny at that point in time and they would have had spectacular wedding photos. I have some cool photos somewhere of the Abbey which I'll try to get put in Flickr for you. I had forgotten about the wedding. We saw a beautiful rainbow on the way back around Loch Screeden, and Mum and I did have a good day. I just smell of pee is all. Anyway, back to the history. Now, in the 4th century, another lot of fierce people, this time, came from Ireland and settled in Argyll and were known as the Scoti, or Scots, which means pirates or raiders, as that's what they were. Well, there you go. I am Long John Silver with a wooden leg. Arr, me hearty. The Scots and the Picts annoyed the Romans so much that they left. Then the Scots annoyed the Picts, and they decided that they were having Argyll, and they set up their home there, with Dunstaffnage near Oban being their king's sort of place. That's his hangout. And then in about 843 AD, the Picts had been picked on by the Viking, were then defeated by Kenneth MacAlpine, who was then king of the Scots. He was then king of the Picts too. The land was now called Scotia, and he was King Kenneth I of Scotland. Gaelic was the language of the day too. So that's the north part, and next week I'll go to the south part of Scotland's kings. Caithness textile artists. This week was very quiet again. Helen was doing her circle-inspired piece that she had learnt from a tutor called Georgina Chapman, who had been up to Caithness Quilters for a workshop recently. Dorothy was there with a DVD for us to watch on Luchador by Inky Berlin, www.inkyberlin.com, who's planning on coming up in May next year. You can look her up. It was a very good DVD, not too long or short, and something to watch a few times with lots of inspirational ideas to get you going on Luchador. Dorothy has her piece of hand-dyed material for the new round robin, but has not yet put anything on it. She went away with two others. Well, I have now got Catherine's one, which is called Layers. My one was an orange-red with a line of yellow on it, and I called it Sunbeam. Well, I wasn't in the best of moods when I looked at the material, and I wanted something to cheer me up. I think it's the weather. A couch embroidered a sun on it from the hand-dyed crochet thread that was dyed at the same time as the material, and it matches beautifully, obviously, because it's the same colour. Helen has added some lines of sunbeam onto it. I had Celia's autumn garden, and I oil crayoned some apples using the toothbrush and oil crayon technique, and using the freezer paper template. I had also Juliana's tequila sunrise piece, which I oil crayoned on a sun that looked a bit Aztec-ish. And I followed a pattern in the material that was hand-dyed material. And I sewed on a few black seed beads onto the Thermofax printed seed heads. Carmel popped in to say hello. Well, that was it. But leading on to the textile technique this week, which is going to be using Luchador. Because we've watched the DVD, you know. Actually, we've used it before, but it was reasonably easy and accessible. As long as you can get a bit of Luchador, which is actually quite easy to get in the UK, so you can get it for about £4 a metre here. Today we're going to make a small picture with it, so think up your design, because I'm going to have a wee beach to warm us up. You need Luchador, which comes in various weights like paper does. It's a polystyrene non-woven fabric, and you can sew it, spray it, glue it, embroider it, and it doesn't fray at the edges, which is nice for those that don't have pinking shears or time to sew hems. That's not me, because I have both of them. Right, you'll need acrylic paint, watered down in a jam jar, and a spray gun, kind of like the ones that you get in the top of your window cleaner or your plant spray. You'll also need sewing machine or hand embroider kit, a decent pair of scissors and newspaper or brown paper to mop up the paint, your rubber gloves and your penny because we're painting again. You could do with bond weave and an iron. If you're being posh, you can have your soldering iron or your heat gun. So what you do? Get your piece of luchador cut down to size, say A5, and lay it on your newspaper covered table. Get your acrylic paints watered down into your jam jars, and then you put your spray gun popped into the jam jar, or you could use it into a proper bottle if you had a few. I don't, because I don't window clean enough. Maybe if I did, then I would have a wonderful set of paints up top. Then spray a blue sky and then a yellow beach or below. Or if that's easier said than done, as Dorothy said, because she had problems when she tried using the spray gun. She used a paintbrush or sponge, or any implement that comes to hand, dog tail, Barbie's head. Use your imagination, but ask the dog first. Wait to dry, which doesn't take long if you've not soaked it. Then you can embroider over it to your heart's content. I would suggest that you use a stabiliser behind the lighter weight luchador, but it's not necessarily for the heavier weight. And what you can do is cut strips and make trees, you iron on bond a web and stick it down with the iron, and then you can embroider over it all. And if the mood take you, you can cut out shapes with your soldering iron, like a tree or a leaf. And if you want to give it an interesting jaggy line, heat it up with a heat tool, which will distress it enough to put wee holes in and give it a weathered look. It's very easy material to use and it forgives easily. It loves all types of paint and it can be cut and moulded and made three-dimensional. So give it a wee try if you fancy it and you have a new fabric to add to your collection. There you go. My wee beach is all done. It's warm, relaxing, and the sand doesn't get your sandwich or your towel. The luchador. Done. A la Gordon Ramsay. Spinning. So, I had some blue fibre. Can you mind when I went to Tortney and I got some from Tate & Style that I said that I wasn't going to buy? Does this make it imaginary? Well, I imagined that I spun two bags of it up and plied it, and now I've got 216 metres of it to be making a lovely chunky something from. I don't know what it's made from, but it's nice and soft and far too well carded to be wool. So me thinketh it be acrylic-ith. I learnt that when you get a bag of roving, you have to split it and fluff it and get the air back into it. And I learnt to hate the wheel with a vengeance. Grumpiness, thy name is tension. But I managed it, and I've got another 30 grams bag to do as well. I'm going to make the next one a bit thinner, and I'll see how far I can make it with one bag. It has scarf for me written on it, and maybe a berry to replace the rubbish attempt at the rainy berry a few weeks ago. I found a few patterns in Ravelry for neck warmers, which I could do with just now to keep the wind out. Also, I've been carrying on with the carding of the white mule fleece and the Jacob fleece for hubby's brioche hat, and now I have a box full of brown Jacob carded. I'm still practicing that because I'm finding that when I'm spinning it, it's sort of letting me down a little bit. Now, I made spinning guild on Sunday and it was good. I just carried on with the white mule that I was doing. Plus, I was soaking up the knowledge of everyone in the room, more experienced than I. I did drool over the Ashford Joy spinning wheel with big bobbins. We had a joke about the big bobbins, but as I'm clean, I'll not go any further. Make your own joke up. It wasn't that bad, honest. So next spinning day is on the 14th of November, and this time we are dying with woad that is in the Heritage Garden Centre and just about to die back for winter. I'm looking forward to the green plant that turns blue when subjected to the air. We've not managed a Vimto craft group this past fortnight. We're making plans for the next one so we can swap the round robin scarves. On to Weekend Knitting by Melanie Fallett review. I got this out the library and it's a nice size both weight, height, width and fatness. Not too big and not too thin, Goldilocks. The photographs were welcoming by Erica McConnell. Oh, and I think they're enough to let you refer back to putting it, your garment together. It retails in at £9.99 UK, $18.95 US dollars or $20.95 Canadian, and it's in paperwork. And I think it's quite good value for money. It's not a new book and was first published in 2003, but was new to me and been pretty popular in the Highland Libraries recently. She She has 50 projects from established designers such as Nora Gone, my favourite Debbie Bliss, Wendy Easton and Pam Allen, and plenty more. I like how she had worldwide designers in this too. It makes it more accessible to us all. And such talent, this book is not for the faint-hearted, as the patterns are mostly complicated, but with complicated, read, proper, lovely knitting. The patterns have been slotted into three chapters, Home and Hearth, Body and Soul, The Charm of Children, and it's got quite a nice acknowledgement and contributor sources and credit section at the back. Also, throughout the book, there are knitting-related quotes and pages of things to do in a weekend to relax, such as taking a bath, watching knitting-related films, cookie recipes, hot chocolate recipes, which are nice interludes to the knitting patterns. Although it does suggest that you could, if you go visit a family that has a new baby, you could knit a bonnet whilst you're there and give it to them by the time you go home. Well, I think it's a bit weird, and if you were visiting me when I just had the bairn, the last thing you would be doing is sitting knitting while I'm running around feeding you, feeding the baby, cleaning you, cleaning the baby. You'd be working, pal. Working, I tell you. I've got mountains of baby-puked vests to wash. Oh, sorry. Where was I? Right. I think she's just a bit romantic in her promotion of the book in that way. Not very practical, and, well, you know I like practical. But I do like how she has plenty of choice from the patterns. There were 2 socks, 5 bags, 6 sweaters, 4 gloves, etc, etc. And the pattern for the fingered gloves comes as fingerless as well, which is a bonus, and it shows you the socks in different types and colours of wool. Plus, every pattern has an introduction from the designer, and it's saying where their inspiration comes from for that project. There are comprehensive requirements, panels of needles and notions needed, along with a very good note section for each pattern. The pattern that I'm most interested in is the brioche hat, Wendy Easton, as mentioned last episode, to knit for hubby, not now for Christmas. The book does suggest that you can knit each project in about a weekend, but hey, I've got to card and spin it first. So, I have got good photos of the project and the stitch, and there are 3 suggestions of colour work, which is good to get your imagination going and not get stuck in the picture is green and blue, and therefore I need it in green and blue. And my notes include 2 strand tubular cast on, tubular cast off, Kitchener stitch, provisional cast on, and the stitches explained in longhand. I like longhand. Brioche stitch. Like I said, you and me outside new are getting a panning. Oops, sorry. I digress with my mission to knit hat. So this book, yeah. I will be putting this on my list of books for buying. If you want interesting patterns from a range of designers presented in a nice weight of book for your knitting bag, albeit it's a little bit heavy for carting about, and this is a good book for you. It has things to stretch you and your imagination. So Weekend Knitting by Melanie Fallick. Oh, and myself. Well, it is the Me Show. The lovely Caroline wrote me out in longhand the double fantasy pattern for the asymmetrical cardigan. And I've added 13 stitches to either side of it. I've got 10 in stocking stitch and 3 in knit. And then the pattern in the middle. And I've been using my North Ronaldsea yarn, which is in a beigeish colour. And sometimes it's all soft and lovely and squishy, and other times it's like knitting with string. Not that I'm adverse to knitting with string, but not for this. It has to be new handbag for me to replace my leather Radley bag. Ooh, how honest am I? Tesco's on Thurso on Monday night to get food with Daisy, and I noticed that somebody had left their handbag sitting in a trolley, and of course I went and handed it in to the management of Tesco's. As I handed it over, I turned and rats, it's a Radley bag. Had I known that, I might have kept it. Well, of course I wouldn't. I was pleased to see the lady at the counter going through it to get a name to return it. So, good deed me. It's a nice bag too. However, my hand-knitted creation will be stupendous when it is done. I've done a front panel of 9 by 10 inches in the double fantasy cable stitch, and the back I am doing a sample of pennant stitch, which is a like wee triangles. And I'm actually using a chart for the first time ever. I need a post-it note to help me, and they're all down in the office, so I'm using a pen and paper. I had to take it back a few times, but it's lovely. The yarn shows a pattern up lovely, and it also shows itself off in stocking stitch very nicely too. Kind of wanting a whole cardigan done in this North Ronaldsea beige, but maybe not at £7 a ball. Maybe next time I'm over in Orkney, I could nick a sheep when I come back. They'd never notice Flossie in the Pentalina canteen. Right, of course it was Halloween this weekend. Happy Halloween to all you. It's not such a big deal in the UK, and we call the dressing up and going round for sweeties guising, not trick-or-treating. and you have to do a party trick to get the sweetie. Because we're mean that way, you know. Plus, we traditionally use neeps for lanterns rather than pumpkins, which are a bonnier colour, and they don't stink like a neep does when it's got the candle in it. Neep is a turnip, by the way. Sandy had a party at nursery, and he was going to be a stormtrooper for a week beforehand, and we had the mask all sorted. I had no idea what else to do for him, and then he said on Tuesday that he wanted to be a Dalek from Doctor Who. So, looked it up on the internet, and I found a funky couple of cardboard box Daleks. Hubby and I did it, and it is really cool. I have a photo to share with you for it. I had some yellow net and some black lining material that Sarah had gifted me back in the summer, and it made a great wee witch outfit for Daisy. I made a rectangle and cut a hole from the head, hemmed it, sewed it, and the cape was made of lining and yellow net ripped up the back. She had a bought hat and was delighted and wore it and enjoyed herself immensely running mad with the other bairns up and down at the hall party on Saturday. Coming up is Guy Fawkes Night, where the UK celebrate the non-blowing up of Parliament by Guy Fawkes back in 1605 and make a big bonfire with an effigy of him on top roasting away. Nice. But it's normally quite good for a wee party gathering, and it's nice to brighten up the winter. So be safe, people. Remember your firework code. And if I miss Thanksgiving coming up, happy Thanksgiving to all the USA listeners. The Round Robin Scarf. I had Caroline's beautiful cowl, which was knitted in warm reds, yellows and oranges in the round on four needles. It's a four ply and in 100% wool. I decided to try a new stitch, so I rattled around online brand and found the perfect stitch, which is called Slip Stitch Colourwork from the Patterns Mix Scarf. I like Lion Brand's website, where you can access hundreds of free patterns in knitting and crochet, obviously in Lion Brand yarn, which is not readily available over here, but you can still get it if you need it. Anyway, I did about 1 inch of this stitch whilst watching James Bond Live and Let Die, and I'm chuffed about the stitch as I've wanted to know how to do it for a while and never found it. Mind you, never really searched it out, but it's there now and I can do it now. I've also been back onto the Nature by Nurture People quilt and free machine embroidered the yellow section, which was the largest. I'm going to get back to the Peapod bits and then the pictures, then the edging, then the binding. I better get a wiggle on before I'm going to finish before the 6th of December. I've also opened the big box for Christmas card making stuff. And as I said, it's going to be snowmen all the way. They're still in the box, but it's a start. So that's me. Right. Thank you for listening, and if you want to contact me, please do so on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, or Stitching Fingers as Louise Hunt, or Caithness Craft Collective at googlemail.com, or leave a comment on the Podbean webpage. You can get me on iTunes at www.caithnesscraftcollective.podbean.com and on Twitter as Caithness Craft. All the links are in the show notes, so go there to click anything you want more information on. This week, the music playing us out is Greenfields of France by Mary's Bard from www.musicalley.com. Cheers for listening and keep on crafting.
Well, how do you do, Private William McBride? Do you mind if I sit here down by your graveside and rest for a while in the warm summer sun? I've been walking all day and I'm nearly done. And I see by your grey stone you're only 19 when you joined the glorious fallen in 1916. Well, I hope you died quick and I hope you died clean. Oh, Willie McBride, was it slow and obscene? Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipes slowly? Did the rifle fire all you as they lowered you? Did the bugle sound the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? And did you leave a wife or a sweetheart behind? 'Cause some loyal heart is your memory enshrined. And though you died back in 1960, to that loyal heart, you're forever 19. Or are you a stranger without even a name? For behind some glass pane. In an old photograph torn and tattered and stained and fading to yellow in a brown letter frame. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the rifle fire on you as they lowered you down? Did the bugle sound the last post in chorus? Did the pipe play the flutes of the forest? The sun shining down on these green fields of France. The warm wind blows gently and the red poppies dance. The trenches have vanished long under the plow. No gas, no barbed wire, no gun firing now. But here in this graveyard that's still no man's land, the countless white crosses, a mute witness stand. Two men blind indifference to his fellow men, and a whole generation who was butchered and damned. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the rifle fire on you as they lowered you down? Did the bugle sound the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the I can't help but wonder, no really make right. Do all those who lie here know why they died? Did you really believe them when they told you the cause? Did you really believe that this war would end wars? Well, the suffering, the sorrow, the glory, the shame, the killing, the dying, it was all done in vain. Did they beat the drum slowly? Did they play the pipe slowly? Did the rifle fire on you as they lowered you down? Did the bugle sound the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes of the forest? Did the bugle sound the last post in chorus? Did the pipes play the flutes?